And your type on Paul's Scooter and Jack with you, 6:47 on your Thursday morning. And I've been talking a lot about how we have a new baby in my house. She's 4 months old. Her name is Willow. And she is a monster who never wants to sleep. It's like her superpower that she never has to sleep. And she's keeping my wife and I up all night. Mm-hmm. And like, it's terrible. It's like getting really, really difficult.
Well, some mornings I come in here, I'm like, oh, how was your day yesterday? Like, I didn't sleep last night. I'm like,
no.
Okay,
and it's ridiculous. And yeah. The thing is, so she's our second child. Our older daughter, Sloane, is 4. Mm-hmm. And Sloane is a great sleeper.
Mm-hmm. You got lucky with the first one.
So I'm realizing that now that, yeah, maybe we did get a little bit lucky because it felt like, oh, we're just doing everything right. Mm-hmm. This is a piece of cake. What are people complaining about?
We're the best parents in the world.
Totally. Yeah. And then we're just like totally thrown for a loop. So I know that there's a lot of people who are kind of experiencing this. COVID, kids. The sleep thing, it's a real thing, especially amongst my peer group, everyone I talk to. So we thought it would be a good thing to bring on a sleep consultant. So joining the show this morning from Blissful Baby Sleep in Vancouver is Sasha Kern. Thanks for being here, Sasha. First question, what are we doing wrong?
You're not doing anything wrong, but it is false advertising. There are a lot of times you get your first child is just like, oh, look at us. We're rocking. This baby is sleeping. It's so great. The first thing is you're not doing anything wrong. What I say to parents all the time is that we are handed a baby and we're told to put it on its back with no blankets, no nothing in a crib. And that's not how the baby wants to be, right? Whereas, like, our parents put us on our stomachs with a bunch of blankets, had a martini, and called it a day, right?
we're definitely having the martinis. We're not putting the baby on the stomach, but we're definitely having the martinis.
Yeah, you need a couple to deal with it. So we're basically my job exists because we're given all these, you know, safe sleep is fantastic, but babies just want to be on up. They want to be on their tummies. They want to be held asleep. You know what I mean? Like, that's just natural.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of just sent home and been like, good luck, you know, and the baby's like, I don't want to sleep on my back with nothing around me. I want to be on you. And so then that's what, you know, basically that's why sleep consultants exist now, because we're like, okay, let's figure out a way to get them to sleep. So I always tell people, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's just you're doing your best. Right? To like get everybody as much sleep as possible.
Right.
So, and as you can see, every baby's different. Some babies pop out, they're like, oh, wake up once, you know, that's cool, I'll eat and I'll sleep. And then other babies are like, I'd like to see you every 20 minutes. You know, like, you're awesome.
You touch on a couple things there that it's, this thing is such a mind game for us.
Yep.
It feels like, because like you said, we had the first baby and you don't know any different. And so we really felt like, what's everybody complaining about? Like,
yeah.
or, you know,
my baby's perfect.
Yeah. And you do a lot of reading and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you mentioned, there's a lot of contradictory information out there for people like us, mm-hmm. who, you know, this is where we're at. Like I explained, she's 4 months old. I know that she has had nights where she'll wake up one time and, you know, my wife goes in
she
for a feed
it.
And then she comes back. And after, my wife, her name is Jolie, after she slept for like 6 hours, we're like, whoa, amazing. We've turned a corner. We have like 3 good nights in a row. And then it's back to just a terrible night.
And the idea of sleep training is that if your baby is using you to go to sleep, so if your baby is using you as a sleep prop, or they're using a pacifier, feeding, rocking, any of that stuff, then each time they wake up, they think that they need that. So really all sleep training is kind of giving the baby the space to figure out their own sleep kind of, you know, tactic, so
right.
that she can, you can put her in her crib awake and she can close her eyes and go to sleep. And then once she can do that initially, then she can do that overnight.
Okay.
Before 4 months, it's survival, honestly. Like,
right.
I don't, you know, like, I'm not like, you know, like, sleep train your baby at 2 months. No, you do what works. So if your baby does better sleeping on you, well, let the baby sleep on you. Do what works.
Okay.
So if your baby naps better in a carrier, wear them in a carrier for
okay.
the first 4 months. You know what I mean? Like, if that's easiest on you.
I think, like, our fear with that, you hear these stories about kids who develop this attachment thing and then they won't go to daycare and they will, because they're so attached to you and stuff. So does sleep patterns translate into those issues, or are we just making a connection that's not actually there?
I think it can, like, if it's long term. So, you know, the way that I kind of say is, like, if your child is 2 years old and you still have to sit with them for them to fall asleep, that can cause issues, right? Because if they need to go to daycare, they don't know how to nap. If you want them to go to grandma and grandpa's, they can't.
Right.
But early on, I'd say under a year, it's not something too much to worry about. Huh. And that's just because babies are really adaptable.
Yeah.
So they're, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have the hang-ups that we have. So basically, when you say, like, we're going to change it. So, you know, if you were to say, like, we're going to keep her in our room for 6 months and then move her, she's going to be like, okay, cool, I'm in a new room, you know?
Like, right.
Like, they don't have the hang-ups that we do. As they get older, they tend to, you know, and they tend to become more like, okay, I can only sleep when, you know, mom or dad are here. But early on, you really can make changes. And that's kind of the thing I love about my job the most, is that people really underestimate their baby's ability to adapt. You know?
Yeah. Like, so yeah.
She's only been here 4 months.
Yeah, this is all so encouraging. So yeah. Let me ask you about this one term that gets thrown around like all the time, and it's got this bad connotation with it. I remember I talked about it with Sloan, and a bunch of listeners called in and like tore me a new one because I said we were gonna let her cry it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of hate.
So what, like, is that warranted? Because then there are the people who are like, you just got to do it. You just got to let them cry it out. So, like, are we damaging our kids when we do that? Or is there something to that?
Well, it's so funny because there's become these two camps, right, when it comes to baby sleep. And it's like full attachment parenting. And then they call it cry it out.
Right.
And when people refer to cry it out, like, if you're talking about it, like, the proper definition of it is kind of extinction, where you like put your kid in the room and you never go back in until they fall asleep.
Right.
So there's these two extremes. And the reason I get frustrated with how controversial it gets is that there's so many middle grounds.
Ah.
Like, there's so much in the middle.
Like everything in life.
Like everything in life, right? So it's not like you sleep with your kid or you leave them for 12 hours to cry. There's so much in the middle. Because basically what you want, and this is my philosophy, is that I find that you really want to find the balance of meeting your baby's needs, but also giving them the space to solve problems. So my philosophy is, if we kind of solve every single thing that our baby or child has, you know, like if they like, it's like when they fall, right? We've all experienced that, I'm sure, with your older one. If you go, then they start crying.
Right.
But if you just walk over and you're like, oh, hey, what happened? They're like, oh, yeah, you know, I stepped, you know what I mean? So, like, we have to find that balance of kind of not rescuing every moment and letting them solve these problems. And that's how I look at sleep, too, is that there is a way to kind of let them figure this out while, you know, comforting them, talking to them, being in the room with them. You don't have to leave them for hours and hours and hours. Like, that, they don't need that in order to sleep. So it's about giving them that, really empowering them to be able to do it on their own, but you're still there. You're still saying, I love you, you're cool, pick them up. People are always surprised because they have their friends say, like, no, you can't pick them up, you can't look them in their eyes. And no. I'm like, and my philosophy is like, no, of course, they're your baby. Like,
right.
Pick them up, just don't put them to sleep, you
right.
know, just let them fall asleep. But yeah, of course you can look them in the eyes.
Sasha, I love how you just are so relaxed about this. So, like, already you just have this, like, calming presence about you. So just
Thank you. Give us
a little bit of background. Like, how long have you been sleep training babies?
So I have been, before I had kids, so my career before I had kids is I was a postpartum doula. So I worked with babies and families when they came home from the hospital. So I don't want to say like 20 plus years, like from the time I was a teenager, that's what I did.
Wow.
So I have been sleep training babies in that capacity, working with families with young babies. When I moved to Vancouver when I was pregnant with my twins, twin boys.
Wow.
And after I had a daughter, and then I had twin boys here. And after they were born and I was in this twin community, I noticed how much people were struggling with sleep, which obviously I wasn't really, because like I'd been doing this my whole life, right? So I knew what to do with my kids because, you know, I'd done it before. And so that's when I decided, okay, I think there's a need for this. I need to be a sleep consultant. I need to let people know that like you can still be completely attached to your children, breastfeed them, all that stuff, and they can sleep.
That sounds like, to me right now, that you can be completely attached, still breastfeed, mm-hmm. and have like the sleep that you need. Sounds like a fairy tale, you know?
But
I love it. And like I said, I'm so encouraged. So for people who are kind of unfamiliar with this and just sort of think like, well, what does this look like? Like, COVID aside, do you come to our houses? Are you in the room with us? What does that whole thing, how does it actually like play out if someone were to hire you?
So pre-COVID, I had kind of two options, which was the in-home visit or the virtual visit. Obviously, now I'm just doing virtual. But we have a consult initially, whether it's in-home or virtual, and then we kind of go through everything that's going on. And from that, I extrapolate what we need to change, and then I build a sleep plan. So I don't actually do anything with the baby. You love your baby and your baby knows you. So if I came in, they'd be like, who's this crazy lady? Why is she talking to me? But I like to say that it's kind of like a personal trainer for sleep. So I analyze what's going on. I say, you know, I figure out what we need to change, and then I create a plan. And then once you start the plan, I'm there. You're tracking for me. We have phone calls. We have emails. I'm watching everything that's happening and kind of making adjustments as we need to, so that, you know, basically I work with families for 2 weeks, and the idea is that by the end of those 2 weeks, their babies are sleeping well. So It's very time focused. Yeah. So, and I know it sounds like, I mean, the amount of parents, like I have the meeting, they're like, yeah, sure. Yeah. And then, you know, by the end of the first week, they're like, I can't believe it. Like how, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tutor's like, I can't believe we found her.
Sounds like we're going to need to talk some more. But thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. And I think you'll be hearing more from me.
Well, Sasha,
hang in there.
I was just going to say, I'm 25 years old. I have no kids. I'm not married yet. But I can tell you, when the first second I find out that I'm pregnant in my life, I'm going to call you instantly.
I will wait.
You sound magical.
Thank you.